Well, this morning we have two passages. This is the Lord of the Baptism Sunday. So I'll read first this passage, the story of Jesus' baptism out of Matthew's Gospel. And so it begins chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Let's listen to these words. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan, that is the River Jordan, to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. The second reading is in Isaiah 42, verses 1 through 7. Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth. And the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations. To open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. Word of the Lord. So, this morning is the baptism of the Lord Sunday. And when Jesus is baptized, he sees the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove. And in another gospel story, just after this, in fact, in this one and the other, Jesus is sent out. And he's sent out to begin his mission, which includes, as he says, being a light, the light of the world. And when he says this, when he says, I am the light of the world, he's standing in front of the Jerusalem temple. And so behind him is this massive church building, let's say. And at the front are these two big posts. They're over 100 feet tall. And they have in them these wicks. And it's a job of two assistant priests to take the old robes, the robes that the priest had used the year before, and to take them up these towers, if you will, and to use them as the wick for the flame for the year ahead. So they use this material from the robe as the wick with a flame that all can see for miles around. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Now, Jesus, as we get to know him, not only do we have the opportunity to be baptized, and that we say yes to Jesus, and we say that, yeah, he is my leader. Say, Lord and Savior. My leader, he's the forgiver of my soul. He's the one who just restores my being. Thinking of Psalm 23. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restores my soul. My cup overflows. And so he's the one who does that. And so we, in relationship with him, have this sense of restoration. But that's not all. Because Jesus is calling us out to be a light. And now, when Jesus says, at the end of Matthew's gospel, first passage we read, he says, go and make disciples of all the nations, all the people, and baptize them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all the commands that I have given you. And remember, I'm with you. The big thing to remember. I'm with you till the end of the age. He didn't send us out on a lifelong project and say, you're on your own, and I'll grade you at the end, but I'm not going to help you. No. He said, I'm with you. In fact, I'm the one who's going to do the work for you, not you. You are going to receive me. Just like you receive the waters of baptisms, you'll receive me, and you'll receive my power. You'll receive my words. You'll receive my prompting. You will receive my reassurance that you are a light as you go out into the world, as you make relationships, build friendships with those who don't yet know this light, at least aren't aware of it, and have not yet claimed it in community. There are a lot of people out in the world who know about this light and even say that it's theirs, and yet aren't part of the community of God. Not working with anyone. They're sort of out there on their own, Lone Ranger kind of thing. But they are gifted, and they have many ways that they will be a light as we engage with them, with the world. Now, when Jesus says this, he says, go out and make disciples of all the people. There's a lot of stuff, that baggage that keeps us from doing that. Am I right? I mean, I can imagine. we could name a few. Maybe you could help me name a few. I don't have enough time. I don't know what to say. I don't know the Bible well enough. Tell me, what are some of them? All the above. I'm afraid I'll lose a friend. I'm afraid I'll appear pushy or judgmental, like so many actually do experience. There's a good just faction of folks who think of Christians or believers in Jesus as judgmental and pushy, and with good reason. Come on. So there's a good reason not to go out and make disciples, not to be a light to all the people. I'm afraid I'll mess it up. I'll start talking to someone, and at the end of the conversation, not only will they not grow closer to God, they'll think that I'm pushy or judgmental, or they'll think that they really don't want to get involved with anything to do with God. So there are a lot of reasons not to be a light. And this morning, I want to help clear the slate and set the record straight. That it's not you who's responsible for drawing someone closer to God. Your responsibility and mine is to remember our baptism and to allow the light of God, the power of God, to do the work in you. So your only job is to be responsive to God. Now, there are lots of ways to be responsive. Not everybody cut out to be this wick of the flame that is going to go out and we'll use this language of convert 20 people in the next 20 days. You know, like it's a chart, you put engineer on the side of his train. The engineer, what is he doing? What do they do in the cartoons? They stamp the sides of is it in the front car or the caboose? I think it's in the front car. They stamp on the side, there's another one I've got. And they mark it like a number. And this isn't the way that God moves. And yet there are folks who are wired and shaped to influence, connect, build relationships, and woo folks in a holy, H-O-L-Y way, where they are led to take a step and act and move in such a way that they are drawn closer to God. And maybe even drawn into that awareness of being part of the community of God through us or through some other community of faith. Others are not wired that way. Some of you, they say about 10-12% of people are wired that way. You might be one of them, you might not. Others are shaped or have the passion for knitting shawls or blankets, and then they give them to folks who are grieving, including who aren't those who are part of the community of faith of our congregation. Others have a lot of friends who aren't part of a church, and they'll sit down with them in coffee shops. They'll talk to them over the fence in the backyard. They will play volleyball with them. One of the things that frustrates me is, and I need to explore this more, is that our volleyball team plays in a church league. That means all the other teams are church teams. And I think to myself, darn it, missing an opportunity to play volleyball with, a team of merchants or attorneys or who knows what, and to connect and be a light and encourage them on their journey. Whatever your shape, you're one of the wicks. There are many wicks, but there's one light. There are many gifts, but one body. There are many wicks and many passions and many ways that we can be the light in McMinnville, Hamity, Lafayette, all around the world. And you have a part to play. Each wick has a part to play in being the light to the world. Be a wick and let flame a light on you as the Spirit alighted on Jesus. Go out. And together, be the light. Are you ready to be a wick? Despite whatever objections you may have, and there are many, to stay with it. Recognize that you're gifted, you're shaped, you're called. In one way or another, be this way. Life. It's going to be a light of transformation that all may know power.